You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
And I'm Kevin Robson.
We are continuing our Mercy Story series, and Pastor Robson along for these stories as guest co-host. It's been a blast having you along. We have more stories ahead, too. This is getting to be a regular thing.
I
like it.
It's been a marvelous journey and path through the work that the Synod is doing in the realm of mercy, such an important part of our life together. It just been great.
And at this point, we've been through a few stories. Maybe just real quickly, could you recap why it's so valuable for us to cover and share these stories of mercy in action?
Yeah. I mean, the church, she has spoken, and we collectively as a church body, Andy, have spoken to the importance and the essential nature of a mercy, the being the hands and ears and arms and eyes of Christ as we go out into the world and simply sacrificially love others as the projection of Christ into the culture.
Hmm. We're going to talk about that loving and caring for our church workers and for families, for parents and families and children in just a moment as we talk about doxology and the mercy work that they do as well. Thanks to Concordia University, Wisconsin for supporting the Coffee Hour. You can find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin at cuw.edu.
Live uncommon.
Joining us today, the Reverend David Fleming, his director of spiritual care for doxology. Pastor Fleming, welcome to the Coffee Hour.
Thanks so much for having me. What a joy to be back.
For our listeners not familiar with the work of doxology, well, one, they haven't listened to much of the Coffee Hour because we talk about doxology from time to time here in the Coffee Hour, but maybe the elevator speech, what is the work of doxology today?
Yeah, so doxology is the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel. Well, we're in our 16th year. We have been involved in a conversation about what it means to care for people's souls and how to be better at caring for people's souls. So main job was to help pastors be better at this work and help congregations take care of their pastors. But we've happily been able to spread out a little and work on caring for pastors and their wives and congregations and our commission workers as well, and bring the insights of God's word and the riches of the gospel down to earth in these lives.
David, brother in Christ, I think I might have been in the second cohort of the Doxology Classic program a number of years ago now. And I'll just put in a plug that it changed my perspective on parish ministry as I was blessed to serve several congregations in Minnesota South and Minnesota North. And doxology was definitely a part of the uplift in my ministry going forward. Tell us about what doxology has been doing or what's new in the last several years that really is it's blossomed in many ways in the Synod.
Sure. So I went through later than you did. I went through in 2012, and Dr. Harold Sinkbile was then the executive director of spiritual care, still a dear friend and mentor and author and brilliant man. So since been up, I've been in this position now for 5 years. And we've expanded to add a journal called Seelsorger. That's the German word for a physician of souls. It's the German word for old caring pastoral work. And that wonderful journal is the only journal for the contemporary care of souls, the studying the art of pastoral care in our day. So that largely is written by Collegium Fellows, which is another way we expanded. We added a group of 9 pastors, and we're about to add 2 more into our group of fellows, pastors that have taken master classes with us. We've been at the feet of John Kleinig, and we got to interview Eugene Peterson back when he was still zipping along pretty well, and met with wonderful theologians that helped us do some deeper diving into what it means to care for people's souls in various kind of situations. We've also expanded into doing the kind of work we did COVID time. And Kevin, I know you were there for one of the Take Heart retreats, which you and your wonderful people at the disaster preparedness end of the spectrum said, hey, we see pastors kind of going through COVID time. acting remarkably competent and caring, working very hard. It's a challenging time, that beginning of COVID, to figure out how to serve our members well. And the disaster preparedness people told us this reminded them of how pastors react when there's a hurricane or a tornado or a flood or wildfire that affects them and their congregation. Yeah. And they know that soon after that, there's going to be, they'll keep it up for a while, the super hyper working, but they're going to hit bottom at some point or be depleted a bit. And so we developed Take Heart from work that we'd done working with pastors and their wives who had been through these disasters to then work with pastors and then later commission ministers on helping equip them during COVID time to be refreshed, renewed, strengthened in this beautiful work of caring for people's souls.
And David, why is that so vital that we think about church workers in particular and their wellness? It's supposed to Take Heart is always all about church worker wellness. Take a step back and tell us why that, in your view, is so important, vital.
So it's important to every soul, of course, but you can't get to every soul. So that's why the Lord sends a pastor to a congregation and why he sends commissioned ministers to congregations and, good grief, to the coffee hour, come to think of it. And through these dear souls, serves all the other souls. So if the pastor and the commissioned ministers are in good spiritual shape, if their soul is cared for and they have a clean conscience before God and joy in knowing how the Lord delights in them, they're able to shine that light of delight and forgiveness and mercy to the souls that need care that they face day after day.
Mm-hmm. I understand that the Take Heart retreats, those are winding down as you come to the end of the cycle of those. But how have these retreats cared for souls? What is that impact that you've seen as you've been going through these retreats, and how have these retreats cared for the souls of these church workers through a really difficult time in the last several years?
Right. So men and women that have attended these, either the pastor one or the commission minister one, have told us that, well, they're still in church work because of Take Heart retreats, that this renewed them, refreshed them. A COVID time for a lot of people in church work, and I don't know if members would know this, it was extremely difficult because you kind of got shot at from multiple angles, right? People, as you might recall, had very strong opinions on all sorts of things, much like they do, I suppose, in the political landscape we're in now. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the pastor, the teacher, the DCE, the deaconess is caught in the middle of the crossfire. So we kind of helped them to see some perspective on that. The retreats themselves were 3 days and surrounded with worship. We started with worship every day, ended with worship every day, which it might sound maybe a little pedantic to some, I suppose. To church workers, it's a real treat to get to be fed by somebody instead of just feeding other people. And I know the pastors delight in having 6 sermons in 3 days that they get to hear and that are preached particularly to them. And so we have that. And then we had 8 hours of instruction with myself and Dr. Beverly Yonke, who you've had on a gazillion times. I know she's much better speaker than I am and funnier than I am. She's what a joy. And so she would look at sort of the best of Christian psychology and what we can learn from that in dealing with ourselves and the souls we care for. And then I would present insights from Lutheran theology, from the scriptures, from the confessions that are of help to us in being renewed in our Lord's gifts. So the pastors, as I said, reported being really encouraged to go back into it. The commission ministers, I mean, they were kind of over the moon. They're like, we never learned anything like this. Sadly, the challenge with commission ministers was just finding the time for them to get away. I think this is something for us to think about. those of you who have schools and have commissioned ministers in your congregation, deaconesses, DCEs, and so forth, you know, finding time to carve out for them to be able to get away from the day-to-day work, to be renewed and refreshed without calling it vacation, I think is a really good idea and maybe an insight we learn from having these.
You're right. It is a struggle. So many of our rostered commissioned church workers serve in so many different capacities within the church that if one leaves, the other needs to stay in order to keep things going. So yeah, finding that time for them to step aside, to be refreshed, and to be cared for in that way is really challenging, but also very important. We're going to learn more about the work of doxology and the mercy work that they care for souls. And we'll talk about that soul language in just a moment as well, as we talk with Reverend David Fleming, Director of Spiritual Care for Doxology, right here on the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
And I'm Kevin Robson.
At Concordia University, Wisconsin, we believe you were created for a reason, to use your God-given gifts to help others, to live a life of self-sacrifice in a me-first world, to live a life that's uncommon. Whether you're taking one of 50-plus online programs or learning with us in person on the shores of Lake Michigan, you'll be equipped to make an uncommon impact. Learn more at cuw.edu. Concordia University, Wisconsin. Live uncommon.
Welcome back to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
And I'm Kevin Robson.
Our guest today, the Reverend David Fleming, Director of Spiritual Care for Doxology. We've learned a little bit about caring for church workers through the Take Heart conferences and the retreats. And there are some other conferences you provided as well. But I want to pick up a little bit of what you've mentioned a few times. You use soul language a lot. And I want to unpack that a little bit more. That's language that perhaps we don't use enough, but maybe we should be using more as Christians, as Lutherans today, when you talk about souls being cared for in these retreats and in the conferences. So tell me a little bit more about the nature of using this soul language with doxology.
Sure. So this is from the early church. That's the way they talked about people, that their souls. If you remember when the Titanic went down, no, we don't remember, but we know of the headline. I mean, it said so many souls perished at sea or whatever. That's the language we used to use to talk about people. And there's good reason for it. In Genesis 2, we learned that Adam was formed out of the dust of the ground. The spirit, he was spirited into his nostrils, the spirit of life, and he became a living nephesh, a living soul, would be the word for this embodied spiritual creature. And so we love the word soul rather than just person or whatever, because it reminds us that every person we're meeting is an eternal being. Every person you meet, well, delightfully, has been paid for by Christ, of course. Doesn't mean they're all going to eternal life, sadly, but they're all paid for by Christ, and they're all going to live forever, which, you know, C.S. Lewis sort of riffs on this, that what an incredible divine miracle it is that there are any other human beings in our life. And, you know, for me, what a joy to talk to three delightful souls that I've enjoyed in my life here a lot. And what a gift that we have friendship and time together, and that's not just, a spiritual thing, right? That's an embodied soul, that this is a person, a creation of God who is going to endure. And happily, we're going to get to hang out together forever because we're in Christ. And what joy that'll be.
What does that mean when we use soul language more? How does that change how we approach, how we interact with one another, how we care for one another, how we live out the vocations to which God has called us?
Well, we recognize there's some spiritual stuff going on. It's not simply, right? So when Synod does mercy work, this is so beautiful what's been done. And Kevin is to be thanked for the work our Synod has done this way. And Matthew Harrison too, that when we distribute aid and so forth, we don't just throw aid at people. We, you know, anchor it in congregations. We anchor it through missionaries. We care for people that way so that we can also work. We can pray for them and bless them and listen. That's a powerful way to build a relationship, to be able to care for their deepest needs, not just the shallow, you know, well, I don't want to say just shallow, but just their physical needs, right? We want to get to the whole thing. And I do think as Christians and church workers particularly, we have a tendency, because it's not visible, to forget the spiritual warfare that's going on all the time. That, you know, Satan hates the church. We know this from Ephesians 6. Our battle is never against flesh and blood. We also know from Revelation chapter 12 that the more we hold to God's law and gospel, the more Satan hates us. So I think Missouri Synod Lutherans particularly have a pretty big target on them. Our churches do. Our church workers especially do. And we need to keep that in mind and consequently be armed with the gifts God uses to defend and protect us from these spiritual attacks. So that's what's helpful about using the word soul. Reminds us that there's this whole other realm going on that we can't see.
Taking it to the other side of the equation, David, there's also very much an incarnational element to this as well, lest we sort of leave that aside. Mm-hmm. We talked quite a bit when we first collaborated on these Take Heart conferences, retreats, about our desire to gather, physically gather together the recipients and participants in this well-being care and instruction. I think your comment is well taken too about us, the warfare. Sometimes I think we tend to think that the pastors are on the front line. It's very much as much so our commissioned ministers too, who are on that very front line suffering the attacks of Satan and his minions. And it's important, but tell us a little bit about why it's so important to get people together physically rather than distributing this care and this instruction through a video series or a distance learning type of situation. In your view, what's so important about getting people together?
It's the same reason that the In His Image conferences are really important. We're embodied creatures. We're not just souls floating around. We're not just minds. We're body and soul, body and spirit together in this embodied soul. So Paul, in his last letter, begs Timothy to come see him because he's lonely, right? Luke alone is with me. All sorts of people have left because he sent him off on mission trips or because they've abandoned him or turned against him. And he's begging Timothy to come see him. We need the fellowship that we have when we gather together, which is why, by the way, getting together on Sunday morning after Sunday morning after Sunday morning is the most refreshing thing on the planet. And yeah, there are sinners there, and sometimes we bump elbows and things and step on toes, but our Lord comes in an embodied way to us, and we receive that together, not just go by listening to the radio. Again, nothing wrong with the radio, but we need more than that, right? We need this collegial friendship. Also with pastors and men in particular, it's hard for them to put the kind of filters down to be open, the masks down, I mean, and be open about what they're really going through, the real struggles, unless you have them together for, you know, a couple of days before they'll put the masks down. Mm. They got to trust each other. And so that's also why sometimes Lutheran beverages aren't a bad idea, right? It sort of lubricates things a bit. And good food and meals together and time together, right? To marinate in our Lord's word together.
Mm. Marinating, I like it. It always comes back to food. That's almost everything. Yeah. I mean, there's something to that, though. And I think we all kind of collectively understood all of this incarnational language and being together a lot more deeply during COVID when we missed that. And all of a sudden we were all like, oh, this is actually a thing that is very critically important to us as human beings to gather together to receive the gifts that God gives us in service. So yeah, I mean, we've learned, there's been a learning curve over the last several years for us collectively as well. Now, you mentioned the In His Image conferences. Tell us more about those. How do those serve the families of our church?
Sure. So In His Image is, again, something that our dear friends at Synod urged Doxology to consider working on this area. And we're delighted to be asked to do this work. So these are a variety of different conferences, all under the heading In His Image, that can be hosted at local congregations, at schools, whatever, community centers, whatever. They just need to be sponsored by a Missouri Synod organization. And then we adapt the program to match whatever kind of audience we're going to have. So we do have parts of the curriculum that are designed for pastors specifically for the deep pastoral care challenges they face in these sexually chaotic days with transgenderism and so forth. Then we also have specific tools to give to Lutheran educators and commissioned ministers in caring for the souls they care for. But we also have public presentations for parents and grandparents and children and so forth, so that they can be equipped together to deal with this chaos as it comes into their neighborhood, their own homes, and, well, their classrooms that they're in with other students. I don't know of many Missouri Synod homes that are untouched by the sexual chaos of our day, sadly, right? I mean, this is just a plague that's all over the place. And I love, somebody would say it, isn't it amazing that the Luther Church Missouri Synod had the foresight to actually speak up about this and deal with it in a pastoral, caring way, you know, so early on in a crisis? And I don't know, what forward thinking, I think, and what a privilege to be involved in it.
Help us understand the struggles that parents face today, the things that the parents and maybe children must wrestle with today because of the chaos that society has presented.
Sure. So a lot of families have family members that, you know, think they're not the sex that they are, or think it's okay to act out in their disordered passions against God's word in multiple ways. I mean, we all struggle against our disordered passions. We all have to fight our passions. But this, because society is going a different way on these things, have you noticed rainbow flags might be around in a few places? That's going on in schools, in community organizations, in the media, in social media, and it's impacting all sorts of people everywhere. And so our people need to be equipped because they're going to get confronted from a lot of different directions.
David, if I'm a congregation member or maybe a pastor or a circuit in the LCMS, and I'm thinking, wow, this sounds like something I'd be interested in participating in, how do I go about doing that? How do I start something like that at the local level with Doxology?
Wonderful question. So if you go to our website, go to Doxology, you go to Programs, the tab for Programs, click on In His Image, and there's a downloadable guide for all the different things we can do. There's some information there. Also, there's a listing of all the In His Image conferences lined up. I'm looking at a dozen here on my sheet. And you can see where one might be nearby. It's really clear there in our webpage and in the downloadable resource exactly how to do this. You'll be looking at the possibilities, the various ways this can be configured, and then how to get a hold of Dr. Beverly Yonke, my co-executive director at Doxology. She's the one actually coordinating her schedule on these.
Very good. The website, doxology.us, correct?
That's right, doxology.us.
We'll share the link for that in our program notes today. What a great resource to families, to church workers as well. Thank you for taking the time to share with us the great mercy work that Doxology is doing today and supporting the church and parents and families as well. Thanks for being our guest today, Pastor Fleming.
You're most welcome. Thanks for having me, and thanks for the beautiful work you all do.
Again, you can learn more about doxology at doxology.us. You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
And I'm Kevin Robson.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.